All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Okay. One of my favorite parts of the newspaper is misconnections.
Oh, is that a real thing or is that just Craigslist?
I've seen it before.
Huh.
It is a real thing. I don't know how popular it is, but I exclusively subscribe to newspapers that have them because I like it.
Yeah. A dwindling supply.
Very much so. And AI is going to revolutionize them.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming back, baby.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing is trying to create misconnections.
Oh, you've just been going out and being attractive and mysterious?
I'm not good at those two things.
Okay.
I'm not that attractive and not that mysterious, mm-hmm. but I have been walking up to strangers and giving them video games.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And my hope is that one of those people will take out a misconnection ad and that will help us randomize a game.
To the mysterious man who gave me a Lynx. Is this a Lynx cartridge? It's impossible to tell.
Gex for Gex.
So
just kind of flip through here and see what we got.
Yeah. Boy, newspapers are thin now, huh?
There's not a whole lot going on in here.
No, no.
Mostly ads for like local carpet places and shit.
Yeah, always going out of business. Yeah.
Yeah. We got one here. This is just normal, like somebody in a car.
Yeah.
Somebody at a coffee shop. I'm telling you, dude, baristas just have to be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean anything. They have to be nice.
They're paid.
It's their job.
They're hoping you pay them. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, here we go. To the tall, tall grotesque with cartridge. I think that might be me.
Okay.
Tall grotesque with cartridge. White male, hi, I saw you at the park. You handed me a copy of Paperboy 64. Why?
And that's it. Is there any way to contact them? Like, is there any way to get closure? Do we have to buy another fucking ad? Do we have to respond? Do we have to pay to do that?
I think you can actually write it into the paper.
Okay.
And they'll give it to the person, but I don't know if that's true.
Huh.
Yeah. Paperboy 64, one of the ugliest games I've ever played in my life.
Yeah, plays fine.
It's fine. Gary Butterfield.
This is Kay Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. What the hell is a Super Nintendo?
We've been trying to figure that out, Gary, for 13 years.
It's a good question.
It's a very good question. We're almost there. We've almost got it.
Yeah.
And this is a poll winner. People voted for us to talk about Paperboy 64. This was put into the suggestion machine. Looking at this here, should have had that up. Of course, Notion is going to freeze. It was put in by Ronsense saying, "Welcome to the world of nightmares."
It is, again, one of the ugliest games I've played in my life.
Oh, you shared me that commercial, the jump scare with the in-game model accurate Paperboy.
It's a different model than the one actually in the game.
But it's still proportioned as such. Yeah.
Yes, I didn't know that there was a Paperboy 64, and I'm a Paperboy fan.
Oh, I love Paperboy. I talked about it. It was one of the games that I played in the more recent arcade special we did.
Yeah. Paperboy's cool.
It's too hard.
It's a unique game.
But it's good.
Way too hard. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And intentionally funny. Like, always love the idea of people who don't subscribe to your paper, like, have graves in their yard.
Uh-huh.
And the Grim Reaper hangs around their house and
just,
shit.
Just like this, what was previously like a cute little Cape Cod turns into a maniac mansion.
Turned into the fucking Adams Family house.
Yeah.
Because they don't subscribe to the paper.
I always thought that the houses got cooler after you didn't.
Yeah.
Like,
they certainly do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like the difficulty curve. I mean, it's too hard. What I like about Paperboy is the idea that, when it has a weird rubber banding to it,
mm-hmm.
That I think is a clever bit of game design. So in Paperboy, you have, certain houses you have to get the paper to, certain ones you don't need to. If you get the paper to all the houses, you get one more house.
Yes.
It's real similar to Zombies Ate My Neighbors,
mm-hmm.
Where if you lose all your houses, if you go down to like one house You only have to get that one house. And if you do, then you have two houses.
Yes.
You bounce back. Similar to Zombies Ate My Neighbors, you know, you have to collect all 10 victims. But if you only have one victim, if you collect all of them, you get one extra one. So it'll kind of refill itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Pretty neat.
Pretty neat. I love the little stunt course that every neighborhood has.
Yeah, for to train their paper boys.
Uh-huh.
This kid is making upwards of $20 a month. He needs to be in peak physical form.
Yeah, peak physical form, legs like tree trunks, arm like a cannon, and has to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to get these papers out.
The fucking worst. I've never had a paper out, but Derek, you know, I talked about my friend Derek, did have a paper out.
Okay.
And I asked him when we did this, I sent him a text message like, hey, do you remember how much you got paid for that? And it was $20 a month.
Holy shit.
To get up at 3 a.m. And it was a weekly paper.
Okay.
Not daily.
Yeah.
But once a week, get up at 3 a.m. and walk around in the dark.
Yeah.
For $5.
I mean, how old was he when he was doing this?
I don't know. 14 maybe.
Okay. Like the canonical paper boy is like really young.
Like too young to be doing it, so much so that when like your kid gets a paper out, you basically get a paper out and it sucks.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. Like if it's nasty out, you had to wake up at 3 a.m. and drive your kid around.
Yeah. I went to high school with somebody who worked a paper route for the local rag. Did you like that? He used the lingo.
Local rag.
He was like 16. So like he did it in his car and like he was working with a bunch of like adults. Who were doing it. Like it wasn't a thing primarily of kids. The primary benefit of that was he was delivering papers when Chipotle opened up. And one of the inserts, you know, an ad for that was a brown paper bag that was like good for a free burrito. He committed probably a felony and just like stole all of those bags. And then for the entire summer, we ate free Chipotle burritos.
Hell yeah. Can't touch burrito.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Way into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, so, you know, weird job and everything. Fun video game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the arcade has the bicycle controller. That's pretty neat.
Good home adaptations of these. I loved Paperboy 2 for the SNES.
Yeah. Where it has both sides of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is harder to play without an analog controller.
Yes.
This version, which, you know, this is fine, but it's not Paperboy, really.
No.
It's like a third-person shooter now, kind of.
Kinda. It's also way too easy, is the thing.
Yes.
They didn't find a middle ground.
In Paperboy, if your bike touches anything, you die.
Yes.
And everything is trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
People are like driving remote control cars to try to get them in your spokes.
Mm-hmm.
Guys will just come out and try to like hit you with an axe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit like that. Everything wants you to go.
It's smoke and aces and you are Jeremy Piven.
Exactly. It's the end of John Wick. Everyone's a fucking assassin.
Yeah.
In this version, you can like tank hits.
Mm-hmm. You have a huge health bar.
Yeah. You have a health bar. Like it's not very Paperboy.
Mm-hmm.
It would just kind of be your relatively... You know, relatively fun, but easy-ish game. If it didn't look the way it fucking does.
Right.
Which is beyond grotesque.
Like, I don't know what they were doing. So, like, low-poly models tend to be chunky, right? Like, oh, here's like a chibi, you know, SD kind of character, right?
Yeah.
They thought, okay, I see your technology. I see the science you're working with. What if we made every character a spindly monstrosity?
Everyone looks like a Sims glitch. They all look like Sims babies that are stretching into different skeletons.
It looks like it looks like the internet monsters at the end of Indigo Prophecy.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
A little bit like those, but like textured to look kind of like people.
It's the idea is that they're doing, you know, low fidelity polygon characters and trying to make them stylized, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Is the idea. It's horrifying. The lack of detail on your Paperboy's face, he kind of looks like a Canadian from South Park.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, you know? But also a little bit like the dummy from the Interpol video for Evil.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really gross and scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies to everything. Every character model in this is the scariest fucking thing.
Like
in the world.
They're mostly empty space. They're like non-Euclidean. It's almost like a super hot glitch or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise this is cool.
Uh-huh.
Like adding a wider variety of towns. To things.
Yeah, there's like 25 levels. Like, this is like very much in line with and kind of the spirit of like the PlayStation updates of old arcade games, like that Frogger.
The Frogger
one, where like the first stage is what you know, but then it kind of becomes like a really interesting top-down platformer kind of deal. Like, yeah, just taking this, making it an easier game and giving it more levels and more stuff to adapt to, like a console game would, as an interesting way to handle an arcade adaptation. You know, we need to release something with a familiar name because we're Midway. What if we just did this? It's a canny way to do it.
It's a Gauntlet Legends style. Yeah. Like, take a thing that is an arcade mindset, mm-hmm, you know, in terms of getting your quarters, mm-hmm, and taking a console value and applying it to it. Like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's just hideous. And it doesn't feel like Paperboy, because like, I think that arcadeness is kind of essential to Paperboy.
Yes. The hostility, you know, of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even just the controls, like the fact that you can aim in any direction, like Paperboy, mm-hmm, is a game about timing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, weird way. Like it's getting the feel for how long it takes your paper to travel a certain distance, mm-hmm, and then fist pumping when you land it in the actual box.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
those near misses where like, oh, it just scoots right by the mailbox and, you know, goes through a window. Ah, fuck, I lost them. Right.
I lost that customer. Yeah, they're going to buy a hearse.
And you only have one chance. Like, you can't go backwards in Paperboy. Yes. And this, like, after you pass by all of the houses, like, you circle back around again. Like, you get more.
Or you can just turn around. Like, you.
I couldn't do it. Yeah.
But maybe I'm getting it confused with the bonus levels.
So the tutorial was like full, like, you know, the tutorial was full 3D control and I got really worried. But like in the actual game, like you couldn't even go over to the other side of the street. Like you do one pass on one side of the street and then you do another pass on the other.
I think I'm just getting it confused with the training levels, mm-hmm, which are basically free roam.
Yes.
That you do not have to follow any kind of route, mm-hmm, on those.
Yeah.
So interesting and ugly.
Extremely ugly, like ugly in a way that like N64 games kind of weren't at the time. Like, this is almost like giving you know, early PlayStation kind of like, we don't know how to do this vibes,
like a little bit, but it's thicker,
uh-huh,
than that. Like there's a game called Courier Crisis.
We covered
always,
that
we've, yeah, talked about that, yeah. Yeah, that's always my example for kind of an ugly early PS1 game.
Mm-hmm.
This is like flatter and muddier.
Yeah.
Really. It doesn't really look like anything else.
The muddiness comes from the N64, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's hard. It's hard to think of anything that is exactly like this.
Yeah. But they're like fucking power-ups and shit in this.
Yeah.
Like it,
yeah,
is, it is not Paperboy.
No.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. Horrible job for children slaves.
Uh-huh. Oh, terrible. Yeah, I mean, like, let alone, like, I've never been, been an early riser, but like, I just, the idea of sending a little kid out, you know, and by little kid, I mean like a 14-year-old, but still,
yeah,
you know,
it's very of its time.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that now because we understand like there are like, you know, maniacs and shit. Like, yeah, we've had scares about that kind of thing. And there's, mm-hmm, discourse about, you know, being over paranoid about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
if I had a kid, I wouldn't want to send him out at 3:30 in the morning. That's late at night.
No, it's dark out. They're going to get hit. They're going to get hit by a car. They're on a fucking bike.
Or harvested. Yeah. Like, you know, like, not that I think that there are harvesters everywhere, but like, yeah,
You're more likely to be harvested by somebody, you know, but you,
yeah, but if a harvesting is going to happen by a stranger, mm-hmm, it's going to happen at night.
Yeah.
You know, at 3:30 in the morning, mm-hmm, and you're just going to the whole neighborhood,
yeah,
on a predictable route.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you can make a game about harvesting paper boys called Paperboy, and it can be the gritty remake.
Is Jack Thompson still alive?
Yeah.
Please don't talk about harvesting paper boys. I don't want to get a visit.
I didn't say for what?
Okay. For some kind of initiative?
Yeah, maybe for some kind of initiative, maybe for some artful dodgers.
Okay, yeah.
You know, maybe it's to do a really big paper mache.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe you just want a bunch of Chipotle burritos.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, there's lots of reasons to harvest paper boys. They're not all evil.
I had so family member of mine very recently sold off a newspaper that they owned in a town nearby, and I was always like, you know, they owned it for a little while, and I was fascinated by the logistics of it, but like, they did the distribution themselves. Like,
yeah,
my uncle when you find a when you find a newspaper at like a gas station, like he would drive it to the gas station to put it in the rack. Like it wasn't a daily, but like he was like, yeah, no, I was over in town delivering the papers that day, and that was wild to me.
It's not a daily, and it's also not a home delivery.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a big difference. Like when you have like a weekly or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just bring them to places.
The weekly was just delivered by mail. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like little papers like that, little mm-hmm. regional papers.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. One of my favorite tropes, yesterday, Liv and I went to dinner because we were craving diner food. Mm-hmm. And we went to, there's a place called Black Bear Diner, which is a West Coast
That's like a diner. Chain kind of thing?
Chain. It does one of my favorite things, which is have a little fake newspaper as their menu,
mm-hmm.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
But it also has, I've been meaning to bring this up for a little bit, and there's not a whole lot of paperboy content, I feel like, a series of credos on it. It tells you their kind of manifesto.
Oh, so
let me see if I can find their credos.
Are they trying to do like a Dr. Bronner kind of thing?
A little bit. They have six principles that apparently they live by.
Okay.
At Black Bear Diner. Let me see if they have this on their website.
Okay.
If not, this is going to go nowhere fast.
Right.
But their newspaper, which is full of little like, you know, about the origins of the restaurant.
Okay.
And what kind of food they serve, has this whole thing about their values that's very funny.
Okay.
Maybe it's under our story/founders
here. there's a Google AI. I just did a search for Black Bear Diner six principles. Well, Black Bear Diner doesn't explicitly state six principles. Their mission, values, and approach to business are guided by several key principles. They're just making shit up.
Yeah. I would love to kill AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't seem to find it. Funniest one of these, or go ahead.
Guest focused, community connected, quality and abundance, genuine and authentic, team focused, growth and innovation. That's like 18 principles
that's
you
just
listed.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found a review here from the hiking CEO who lists that they do have the credos, but it doesn't say what they are.
Mm.
Here's a screenshot of the menu. God damn it. anyway. Oh, here we are.
Okay.
Here, let me take this image here and put it in the Slack.
Okay, please.
So the credos, a bunch of them are not that interesting.
Okay.
You know, but one of the credos is very funny to me. It's about big portions. And they talk about getting a to-go container
mm-hmm.
like it's something that is not usual, you know, at restaurants.
Okay.
And they talk about their budget for it. It's like, on the other hand, sometimes our guests are not used to the portions that we think we're serving them too much. Nobody likes to be wasteful, and neither do we. I think we have one of the highest to-go container costs in the industry. We urge you to take the extra food home and enjoy it later. At Black Bear Diner, we give you the choice of how much you want to eat. Nothing is worse than going away hungry from a restaurant. It won't happen at the Bear.
I love that.
Implying that they give you a choice of how much to eat is very funny to me.
Yeah, implying that there is every other restaurant has a clean plate club that is enforced with force. That like
yes.
there's a guy like you don't want us to call Eunice.
Yeah, we'll grab the dinner gun.
Yeah,
if you don't finish your plate.
We know Eunice is a lady name, but he's real cranky about it. It's a real boy named yeah. Sue situation. You do not want to meet Eunice.
An enforcer named Eunice. Uh-huh. Who will fucking press the cold steel against the back of your neck if you leave a garnish. Parsley's edible, motherfucker.
He's not and done just, yet.
Yeah, like, that orange slice isn't just for show. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing,
The other things are just normal restaurant things, but I really like that. We give you a choice.
We try to greet all of our guests at the door quickly. God, I hate that.
Yeah, like, holy shit, really?
Huh.
I can't believe a business that says hi.
Uh-huh.
To you.
You know. God, like greeting, fuck. Did you ever work in a place where you were held to account for greeting?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Like when I've worked in public facing places like that, I either like I worked at Taco Bell when I was very young,
mm-hmm.
which if I worked at the counter, I might've had to, but I generally worked behind, you know, back. And then when I worked at Fred Meyer, I worked in the home section.
Gotcha.
So people, you know, if people walked up to me, I had to see what they wanted, but I wasn't near the entrance.
Okay. So you were not responsible for catching every single person who came in?
No.
No. So I worked at, it was Babbage's initially, and then it was bought by GameStop. And you know, I got the job, and basically 2 weeks in, I got secret shopped.
And shit.
I got wrote up. And the thing is, that is an automatic fail. Like, everything was fine, right? But I failed and got written up like in my first month on the job because I didn't greet. Okay. I am 16 at this time, freshly turned 16. And I got so paranoid about it that up until like more recently than I am comfortable admitting, I would wake myself up greeting in my sleep.
that's bleak.
Very bleak, right?
That is fucking bleak. Okay? So, I'm gonna go lay down. That sucks.
Somebody ever say something so depressing you need to take a nap?
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, but I really wanted that job. It was amazing. I just I couldn't believe that I got it. I was so worked up, but it was so pounded into me that I have stress dreams about old jobs, right? I have stress dreams about nightmare client interactions, from when I worked at the marketing job. But just waking myself up, greeting in my sleep.
Secret shoppers are very funny.
Oh, yeah.
as a concept.
the amount of power that you wield.
Yes. Yes. Oh, this just occurred to me. We don't have to go on a whole thing about this. But last episode we were talking about Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay. He's got a new show called Gordon Ramsay's Secret Service.
Oh, no.
Have you seen this?
No, I
haven't. Anything with this? It's not out yet.
I saw you post apparently he's doing this. Yeah.
I saw the trailer for it. In this one, somebody from the restaurant calls the Gordon Ramsay hotline and says, Gordon Ramsay. And they show Gordon Ramsay in a surveillance van on the phone. And he says, listen, man, this restaurant's really rough. Gordon, can you help? So Gordon Ramsay dresses up like a burglar, breaks into the restaurant at night to check it out and to place hidden cameras everywhere. And then he goes back to his surveillance van.
Okay.
And basically Phasmophobia is this shit. And then eventually springs it. And then he's like, and actually, just so you know, owner, you have somebody on the inside who's working with me.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. He's just having fun.
Oh, yeah. No, he's boiling it down. He has taken just the part of his show that goes viral. It's the oops, all berries. Oops, yes. All crunch berries of Gordon Ramsay stuff.
Narrowing it down to berries this entire time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his YouTube is very active in terms of cutting it, these super compilations and just the best of moments. Cause they know what kind of berries we want.
Uh-huh.
I really kind of want to watch Gordon Ramsay's Secret Service. I think it's funny that he sneaks in and the camera falls around. He has night vision goggles.
Uh-huh.
I think it's funny that in the interstitials, he walks around a foggy street with a bulldog. I don't know. It's pretty great. And then he's got I hope that the person who, if they reveal who the person on the inside was, I hope they have some kind of guarantee of not losing their job.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Because just Gordon Ramsay walking in and blowing up your spot. I called Gordon Ramsay on you.
Yeah.
I called the fucking hotline.
It doesn't matter if you we show you over the process getting better. You're still the restaurant that was on that show for being bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And also can they still trust you? If I was a boss, if Gwen called Gordon Ramsay to come sneak into either of our houses at night, like a burglar, and place hidden cameras everywhere to expose to the world that I podcast in my boxers.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like that.
Yeah. It's not the most surprising thing.
Trust Gwen.
It's hard to think anybody would be surprised by that.
Well, as I talk about it, I was just trying to think of what you could catch on a hidden camera. Yeah. I guess health code violations. I do have a lock-in full of rotting meat.
But that's for a personal venture.
Yeah. That has very little to do with the podcast. There's a lot of cross contamination that goes on, but it's not podcast related.
But Gwen would have demonstrated herself to be somebody who will blow up our spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I would just be, no matter how much Gordon Ramsay was telling me like, hey, you know, this person did you a favor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to now remodel your house mm-hmm. to make you a better podcaster.
Yeah.
I would still feel very betrayed.
Yeah. I'm going to run a power line to your walk-in full of rotting meat. I'm going to replace the rotting meat inside. I'm going to turn it into a walk-in and not just an open box in the shed.
Yeah. A box in or just a garage.
Uh-huh.
You know, meat garage.
Yeah. Full of loose meat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Not the Roseanne Barr loose meat. I just mean I don't have boxes for it.
What?
There ain't no shelves.
The fuck? Roseanne Barr loose meat? What?
Loose meat sandwiches.
Oh,
Roseanne Barr had a loose meat sandwich shop, which is like a sloppy Joe without the
without the Joe? Yeah. It's all sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just ground beef sandwich.
Hmm. Gross. Yeah.
Super weird. Yeah.
Hmm.
The Midwest. I'm pretty into this, and I really hope it makes a video game. Like, there need to be more Gordon Ramsay video games anyway. There's just that shitty Hell's Kitchen game.
Yeah, for this to be authentic, I really need to see, like, Gordon Ramsay taking, like, incoming fire from the police. Like,
somebody's got to call the cops on him at some point because they're walking around these restaurants with flashlights.
Yeah, like, they're watergating this shit. Like, we need this to be completely, we need them. We need the spot blow uppers to be blown up in turn.
It'd be great. Uh-huh. Can you imagine playing the video game if, like, there were still Burger King style advert games?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, like, it's basically, you know, Thief Simulator, but you're Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then maybe during the day it's like Hitman and you have mm-hmm. disguises.
Yeah. Otherwise, like it's not, it needs to be an actual break-in. I don't want this to be arranged behind the scenes, you know?
That's the thing. Somebody probably listened, you know, when I talk about Gordon Ramsay stuff, it's like, oh, it's all fake. And like, mm-hmm. Probably, you know, I'm preferring to remember it's or preferring to believe it's a break-in.
Uh-huh.
You know, cause it's more fun.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, the Jackass guys did illegal shit
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah.
On camera. You know, maybe it's not arranged.
Yeah.
Let me have this.
Please, for the love of God. But just the idea of like, oh, we've turned secret shopping into a show.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and the kind of Undercover Boss does that shit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the evil version of it.
Yeah,
that you know, is where like, it's like
it is just corporate propaganda. You know, oh, he's a real good guy after all. It's basically like, well, like if only the Fuhrer knew kind of stuff.
Yeah. CEO rehabilitation show. And the problem with any business is it's just always one lazy employee.
Uh-huh.
But one employee that struggles really hard to get to work is going to get bought a car.
Yeah.
It's fucking bleak.
That's going to make up for all of the system. Yeah.
Thinking about newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
You are in your silly putty.
Yeah.
The unserious putty that they sell to kids.
Yeah. Terrible snack.
Terrible snack. Very funny that it copies newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a feature. And the idea was you could put down silly putty and then have a very temporary backwards panel from like a Rose's Rose. Like every kid wants.
No, don't touch that. Don't touch that.
Yeah, don't
putty.
Touch that.
Don't touch that.
Don't
putty.
Touch the putty.
I haven't read Love Is yet.
Yeah, I haven't read Love Is backwards. Yeah. Like, because they would be, you know, you couldn't read it.
Uh-huh.
It'd be backwards. I had to hold up the silly putty to the mirror to get today's Love Is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complicated.
Yeah. Everybody knows silly putty is for seeing how thin of a snake you can make before it breaks.
You make snake, you put it up to your mouth, you kind of blow a bubble a little bit. You just kind of knead it.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Mm-hmm. Bounce it silly, like a ball.
Bounce it. Yeah. Silly putty does a lot of things, but it actually one of the more versatile putties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Huh. I mean, like there are the putties from Power Rangers. Like they're, those are like, they can like walk around and do
David
stuff.
David Putty. He had a lot of jobs.
Yeah. It was a grease monkey.
Yeah.
Other jobs one assumes. Arby's enthusiast.
Arby's enthusiast worked at a car dealership.
Yep.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. In a standout episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Putty's up there. Yeah. I had an idea for a long time and I stopped doing it. I wish I hadn't. Where I would go into a dollar store where they had silly putty for 50 cents.
Uh huh.
And the idea was every time I walk by this, I buy one silly putty.
Okay.
And then I combine it. And eventually I have a silly putty like the size of a Ditto.
You have mega putty. Yeah.
Yeah. I just have like a beanbag chair out of silly putty.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I leave it overnight and it just like carpets my entire room or starts rolling down the stairs and shit. And I stopped doing it about the same size it got to being somewhere between a baseball and a softball.
Okay. Okay.
You know, which takes up more silly putty than you might think.
See, the thing about silly putty is like you have to keep it in the container. Like I can't imagine having silly putty and cats because it is just going to be cat hair.
It's going to make that ditto an Aloan ditto real quick. Like, it's going to be real gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Huh.
I wish I kept up with that though, because I would love to have like just a box of silly putty right now, like a banker's box that's just full. You open it and it's just like a vaguely flesh covered, semi liquid. You know,
God, just
like an otosphere.
Yeah, just any number of things that, like, I don't know, the social worker who gets your case could find.
Yeah, and be like, I wonder what this meant. You know, to him, why was he doing this? Was he trying to build part of his childhood? Like, what?
Uh-huh.
What is this? You know, and he's like, no, I just thought it'd be cool to have like fucking silly putty that you had to heft over your shoulder like a fireman carry.
I want a threatening amount of silly putty.
Yeah. And like what it can copy, you know, what happens, like one of the cool things you do with silly putty is you put your fist in it and it gets all of your fingerprints and knuckles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would like to teabag a silly putty the size of a chair and just kind of check out the impression.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious.
See how the other half lives.
See how the bottom half lives. Yeah. That old expression, you know? I've never seen that part of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
You could get a mirror. You could do the Madonna's, you know, sex book thing, but.
It's a lot of mirrors.
That's a lot of mirrors.
Yeah. The other thing is you could copy entire newspapers. Like I wouldn't need to, you know, a copying machine at all. I could just use my box of silly putty and just have the entire Roses Rose, the complete Roses Rose.
You would like drive the final nail into the coffin of print media, Gary.
The print industry. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a fun idea. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I didn't do it. Now everything is expensive and sucks.
Yeah, no. only the richest king's can afford silly putty.
Silly putty. Yeah, now it's no longer silly business.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's probably like $1.50 now. But Jesus. Even that, you know, for the amount I would need, is going
to
be too much.
If it's below $1, like that is really hard to fuck with, especially like as, you know, occasionally you walk by a dollar store like that. Yeah.
I'm going to look at next time I buy a dollar store, I'm going to check in and see the price because I'm kind of into this idea again.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll just be a bunch of it. Like nobody's done anything like this in a long time. Like I don't think silly putty is popular right now.
No.
There are probably people listening to this who don't know what it is.
It's not ascendant is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slime is ascendant. I got to tell Will about that. There are slime stores.
Will didn't know about slime. Slime has been a thing for, I mean, more than a decade now.
Well, but it went away for a while.
Did it?
Like slime was a thing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then slime was not a thing. And then now slime is so big that there are like stores in the mall.
Oh yeah. No, it's
boutique slime.
It's a huge, I mean, it was a YouTube thing. And then it became probably a TikTok thing. Yeah. But yeah, no, just like using Elmer's glue to make slime and mixing shit into it to make it look different. Yeah.
Yeah. Making your own slimes, like a custom slime,
yeah.
You know, and you scenting it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, silly putty needs to come back.
It does. But the thing about slime is you can make it, right? Like, the store is, you know, for supplies to customize your slimes. Silly putty coming back, that would strictly benefit
Big Putty.
The company?
Yeah, the company that makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly putty.
Yeah, exactly.
Manufacturer.
It's like Wacko or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bam-o.
The exclusive manufacturing rights to Silly Putty are currently held by Crayola. Good for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hook me up. No. Like, give me, I would like to open up a box.
Mm-hmm.
I want a box that's the height of me to show up on my, and it has to be one you have to open with a crate and to show up on my front door. And I have to get out the crowbar that came with my house and open it. And then there is a life-size version of me in Silly Putty.
Yeah.
And it opens its mouth and we cut to credits and that means I die.
I was going to say it falls over onto you.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But I want it to open its mouth and then now it's the Gary. And I, like a single white female, single beige female, single beige male. I'm no longer just the putty Gary.
I'm already it's not male.
Yeah.
You're already a single beige male. You're not single.
Or like taupe. Yeah. Or whatever color silly putty is.
Yeah. So I to remind myself of how horrifying this game looks, I had the a YouTube video up and I paused it on one of the newspaper interstitials, you know, introducing a new town. This one, you know, issue of the Daily Sun, Tesla Town gets a fresh new victim.
It sounds very much like a ripped from the headlines now. But Tesla Town in this is really cool. It's the one that is all like non-subscribers.
Yes.
It's all Adam's family houses.
Mm-hmm. Like eventually, like all of the last levels of this, like you're dealing with an alien invasion. It's quite neat.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. I wish it looked a little bit better. I don't love the way it controls. It controls fine.
That's an N64.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, that Nightmare controller doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
What can people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, kick us a few bucks a month and get a ton of bonus content. You know, 200 something bonus episodes of this show and whole bonus shows.
Yeah. We would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You can also tell your friends, leaving readings and reviews, subscribe, all that stuff helps us out. And you can join us and thank our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah.
And until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, the only podcast that guarantees to personally put you down old Yeller style.